The reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they had caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Let us bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, we know that we cannot live by bread alone, but only by every word that proceeds from your mouth. We give you thanks for the word preserved for us, inspired by your Spirit in Holy Scripture. And we give you thanks for the call to proclaim that word, that through such a proclamation, we too might hear your voice. So use the fallible words that are spoken, and by that same Spirit, speak this day a word to each of us gathered here. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. In our sermons through the month of October, we are thinking together about the importance of saying yes to God in a world in which it can be hard to say yes to God. 2 weeks ago, we heard a story which Jesus told. It's called the parable of the sower, in which he reminded those who had ears to hear that there were many distractions in this world, many difficulties standing between us and a thoroughgoing yes to God, standing in our way, stopping us from doing what we want to do and what we ought to do. Yet Jesus' word in telling this parable was not to discourage people, but to encourage people. Though he spoke about a path that was hard and some rocky ground and some weeds and thorns that would come into our lives and prevent us from being the people that God wants us to be, he also spoke about good soil, which is our calling and his passion for our lives, that we be good soil, producing a huge harvest of righteousness, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And this is his pledge to us, that our lives will, as we keep saying yes to God, be fruitful, that our lives be fulfilling, that they be effective, that they be filled with a sense of satisfaction. This is his desire for you and me. This theme was followed on from 2 weeks ago last week by Donna Marsh, as she spoke about our calling as individuals and as a church to say yes to God, and in that yes, to become agents of God's transformation in this world, saying yes to God by reaching out to the world, not just sticking to ourselves, but being a part of God's mission within this world, as individuals and together as a church. The images that come from Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount are images of salt and light. This is what we've been called to be, salt in the world. Salt preserves that which is perishing. Salt gives taste to that which is tasteless. We've been called to be salt, and we've been called to be light. Light and brightens what is dark, opens up a path ahead when you cannot see, gives growth to those things which have become stagnant. We've been called to be agents of God's transformation as salt and light in this world. And this is a wonderful calling from God when we say yes to God to reach out, and a promise that we can become that transformative agent of God in this world. It's an amazing calling, an amazing hope that stands before us. But once again, as Jesus would say, it's just not always that easy to move from the knowledge of what we want to do and from the passion of what we want to do to actually doing it, to living that new kind of life that God can use in all kinds of ways in the world that He loves and to which He sent His Son. Malcolm Gladwell, in his 2008 book, Outliers, speaks about some of this difficulty when he points out that if you want to become an expert in any particular area or field, and he's covered in his research all kinds of areas and fields, it's going to take a long time. In fact, he estimates that on average it's going to take 10,000 hours, 10,000 hours of concerted effort. And you can probably master whatever it is you want to set out to do, become an expert at that. That's 1,250 8-hour days, day after day, along the way, to become an expert at something new. It doesn't happen quickly. And according to Philippa Lally at University College London, just to create a new habit, not to become an expert, but to place something in your life which becomes fairly automatic that wasn't there before, it's going to take 66 days, she says, on average, of constant repetition and practice every day, day after day, for 66 days, sometimes less, often more, but here's the average he comes up with. So creating change in our life is rarely quick, and it's rarely easy. And it may seem for us that it's often out of reach, but that would not be the point of either of these authors or of Jesus himself in telling the story. In fact, Jesus would say that change is very much within our reach. When God is present by the Holy Spirit, change is always possible within our lives, especially if we commit ourselves to taking the first step on the pathway. Not the last step, not the fifth step or the tenth step, but the first step on the pathway, if we're willing to head off, to begin going in the right direction. Of course, a first step provides no guarantee that our lives will in fact change, that they'll become effective, that they'll become fruitful or transformational in the lives of others. There's no guarantee that that will happen, but what is guaranteed is that if we do not take that first step, the change that we long for will never happen. The first step is critical. Awkward though it may be, frustrating though it may be, time-consuming though it may be, costly sometimes though it may be, that first step is absolutely critical. Usually the first step is difficult, but not impossible. Awkward, out of our way, inconvenient. But in fact, for just about everything in life, the first step is a step that we in fact can actually take, if we set our minds to doing it. So think, for example, of a long-term endeavor in which lives are changed, and changed dramatically for good. And we watch this happening all the time. We've been thinking about our children this morning. So think about our children living fruitful and effective lives, and we decide that the best way for them to live these lives is to give them an education, to ensure that they have an education. If we think about the whole thing, it becomes daunting beyond the scope of our imagination. It's going to take 12 years of school, and then it's going to take college. And if you don't get it first time round in college, you go back again like me, and you have to go for remedial treatment for the next 4 or 5 years after that. And so you end up spending not just 12 or 16 years, but 20 years or more studying year after year in order to be the kind of person you want to be and you think God wants you to be, effective in this world in which we live ourselves. From a five-year-old on, it's a long, long time along the way. But in fact, a parent doesn't have to really think at that beginning moment about all of the other steps along the way, though sometimes parents borrow trouble and they do think about all of that. But what you really have to think about is the first step. You have to think about that rite of passage, which is called the first day of school. And you have to face up to that, which all of us can do, annoying or inconvenient as it may be, and just start somewhere along the line. You've got to show up. You've got to join with others. You have to go to the school building. You have to enter a new atmosphere, which you may look at other people around about you and say to yourself, well, they seem to know what they're doing, and I don't feel as if I know what I'm doing at all. You have to fill in forms of one kind or another, parental consent forms, student forms, medical forms, field trip forms, and it all seems too much. But it's not really. None of it is beyond the scope of our ability. Awkward, inconvenient, there may be a check to write here or there along the way, but every single one of us can take these steps. And if we just grit our teeth and do it, and what we discover is that day one gives way to day two and day three and day four, and the years go by and the transformation, a remarkable transformation, takes place in young lives, step by step, day by day. But there would be no step by step, day by day, no step two or three or four, if you didn't begin with step one, fully within our control, quite possible, even if at first we feel awkward or difficult taking it. Or think about marriage, an institution which is clearly going to change two lives. You find somebody who becomes so important to you that you're no longer content to be who you were. And for this person, you're willing to change your legal status, you're willing to change your home address, you're willing to change your economic situation. You're willing to allow children and adults into your lives who weren't in your lives before, and conversations are going to take place within that new environment which will shape you in ways that you could never have imagined. The whole thing, if you look at it all, is perhaps a daunting prospect, a lifelong change, which, like so many other things, though, just begins with a first step, which is manageable. Well, unless we make it unmanageable, and we have an ability to do that. It begins with an engagement and then a wedding. And I know these things can begin to explode, but to begin with, at least, it's just a matter of something every one of us can do. We find a date that are set for the wedding. Family and friends are invited. A ceremony and a reception is planned. Nothing really hard about that. But it can be inconvenient, and it may take some time. And we may find ourselves at times saying, why are we bothering with this? But that first step is actually really important. Certainly within the Christian tradition, it's very important to create an environment at the beginning of this long journey in which God is present, in which God is truly present, and in which love and joy are present, and in which vows are taken, which are going to be remembered and held onto for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, loving and cherishing one another so long as we both shall live. Step one, not impossible, perhaps a little awkward at times. We say, why bother? But step one leads to step two and three and four. And when step one is done correctly, when we pay attention to those details, it becomes an integral part, in fact, of making it through steps three, four, and five, and perhaps 35 and 45 and 55 and all the way down the line. Step one, it's the beginning of something else, doesn't guarantee it, but it's critical that it's there. And we think not just about the long haul, but about the manageable, even if it's inconvenient, the manageable first step that we take on the path to what can be traumatic and transformational change. The same is true when it comes to saying yes to God and being transformed into the kind of people that God wants us to be in our relationship with God. Our gospel story speaks about different steps that are taken by those who were the first followers of our Lord Jesus Christ on a pathway which would lead to the transformation of the world and to the transformation of your life and my life today. The story of the call of the first disciples of Jesus Christ. It's tempting as we hear the story that we read as our scripture reading, and I'm going to read it again in just a minute, to think that the first step that was taken, that led to transformational change in the lives of the disciples, and especially in the life of the disciple Simon Peter, was the step when he left his fishing boat behind and left his livelihood behind and followed Jesus. It was clearly a momentous event in the story of the church which exists in your life and my life to this very day. Certainly a momentous event in Simon Peter's life, becoming fruitful and effective like that field which produces fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Remember these words at the end of our passage. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching people, not just fish, but people. I'm going to change your life." And they brought boats to shore. They left everything and followed him. It's quite a step, a momentous step, transformational moment. But what I think is important to notice in this particular passage of Scripture is that that step was not really the first step that Simon Peter took. And for me, this is good news. That step, leaving the boat behind and following Jesus, leaving his livelihood behind and following Jesus, was an enormous step, which if I were to say that to you, this is what you have to do, I would hazard a guess that I may not have too many takers. It's so huge. It's so big. For many people, it's so unmanageable. But what in fact we find as we read the story is that that wasn't the first step that Jesus asked Simon Peter to take. And indeed, there was another step which he did take, which enabled him to take step 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 all the way down the line to the end. When we read the story carefully, we find that there is an initial step which was inconvenient and awkward and cost Simon Peter time and energy, but which was quite manageable, a step that he took that set him going on this completely new direction, a fruitful and effective life for Christ. Let me go back to the story and read it again. The first step has to do with Simon Peter allowing Jesus to invade his space, allowing Jesus to make him do something which at first he didn't want to do, but which he knew well how to do, allowing Jesus to begin, just to begin, to control the direction of his life. So here's the story. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, what we often call the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." You can almost see Simon Peter rolling his eyes here. "You know nothing about fishing. You come from Nazareth up in the hills. I'm a fisherman. I do this all my life. Who do you think you are trying to reshape, to reorganize my life? Been out all night. There is nothing out there. I know best." But instead of saying that, though it sounds as if he thought that, he says, "Okay, I'll do it. You're in my boat. I'll take the next step, and we will go out." And what we read in verse 6 is this: when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed. They were in awe. They were awestruck at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then, and this is where step 2 comes into the picture, then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. I've got something different for you to do that you hadn't thought about before, and you will be fruitful and effective in this." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. But that wasn't step 1. That's step 2. Step One was to do what was awkward and inconvenient, and which at times they didn't want to do. It was quite possible, though, it was quite within the reach of Simon Peter. He knew about boats. Just go out into the deep. Let me stay here. Go out into the deep and do it again. I don't want to do that. I've been there. I've done that. Just do it. You can do it, can't you? Yes, I can. And he did. Step one. And that led to the awe and the wonder, the sense that the one who was in the boat with him was more powerful than he could ever begin to imagine. The Lord, the creator of the universe, somehow is in touch with this one in the boat, enabling him to say yes to him again and again, wanting to say yes to him again and again, as one who knew more about his life than he could at first have ever begun to imagine. Step one. Doable, easy to do. Not that you want to do it, but not hard at all, without which there would be no step 3 or 4 or 5 or 35 or 45 or 55. It's important for us to remember what God wants to do in our lives, how the gospel speaks so frequently of ordinary lives being caught up in the great plan of God, what we call the kingdom of God. And when we are caught up in the kingdom, our lives can become more than we imagine. God wants our lives to be fruitful. God wants our lives to be productive and effective in his service. And it is important to think of that and all the changes that have to take place for that to happen. But this morning, really what I want us to think about is that first step and what that first step is for you. Sometimes when we think about this big picture, it's so enormous that we can never imagine getting there. So hard, so long a path. But here we have a story of step one, of someone saying yes to God. A simple step. Not at first what they want to do. Not a step that you might think is going to lead anywhere. But the right step that leads in the course of time to a simple life becoming more powerful and effective in God's service than we could begin to imagine. So what are these steps in our lives? What might they look like? Well, I'd suggest they might look like this. A few brief examples. One has to do with perhaps setting our alarm clock 15 minutes earlier than it's set right now. Now, I'm tempted to say, how many of you are not capable of setting your alarm clock? How many don't like to set your alarm clock? That's what I'm getting at. We don't like to do it. It may be awkward or difficult, but it's not hard. It's not impossible. But 15 minutes can change a life when we say, I will do that and I will spend the first 15 minutes of the day with God. And we say, well, I've never prayed and it seems so impossible to pray. To which the answer is, well, all you really need to do is to open your mouth and say, Father, I haven't spoken to you in a while. Let me share with you what's going on in my life and what bothers me in this world of yours. And the conversation can move on from there. Or maybe what we need to do this first step is to find a quiet place in our house or some other place where nobody will bother us for a few minutes. That's an important step to take, and it's not beyond the grasp of any of us. Or simply to read the announcements in the bulletin and to say, you know, this is something I've never been to before, but maybe I can go again. There's no obligation to go a second or a third or a fourth time, but one thing is for sure, unless we go first, on step one, there never will be a second or a third or a fourth time. Each of these things can be awkward or frustrating. And we say, I don't want to be put in that position like the first day of school. But in God's economy, that is how so often great change, significant change begins to happen. A simple step that any of us can take, which at first, for whatever reason, we don't want to take or we feel uncomfortable taking. And a sense that God, through Jesus, is nudging us on. Take it. Take it. And who knows what will follow? We know what God wants to follow. But it always begins with step one. Join up. Sign in. Turn up. Turn the dial back just a little bit. Small things that God can use. On a long journey in which God promises to be our shepherd all the way through, every step of the way. But maybe today is just step one that you and I need to think about. Let's bow before God in prayer. Holy God, thank you for the Gospels and for the stories of a flesh and blood Savior who knew real people, how to walk into their lives in a way in which, to begin with, might have been a little awkward, but in the end, made them forever eternally grateful. Walk into our lives and help us to know what steps we need to take today to move on the pathway with you. Hear this prayer and answer. It's in your name, Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.